Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, we're going to take a trip to Washington, D.C. through the eyes of two political science students from the College of Southern Nevada, Nadia Elizondo and Hugh Lee. Plus on the Power Pundit panel, Marlene Lockhart, Sam Kumar, and Dayla Gibson. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
I'm Paul Enos, CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association. Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're pleased to welcome two students to our program today, Nadia Elizondo and Hugh Lee. They both study political science at the College of Southern Nevada and just returned from a trip from Washington, D.C. to visit our congressional delegation and to see how things are on the Hill. Nadia, let's start with you. What was your first reaction to being in D.C.? Was this your first time?
Yes, it was my first time, and it was quite frankly very cold. But it was incredible just to see all the history that's surrounding you, as opposed to Vegas, where you just blow it all up and start all over again. To see history that isn't torn down, but it's honored and cherished, was just incredible.
Did you get a sense of politics initially, or was it more, here I am on Capitol Hill and just absorbing all that you're seeing?
I think it was more of an absorption process. There wasn't really a sense of politics, as odd as it sounds, on the Hill, unless you actually went into where the congressional members are or the senators, where their offices are. There wasn't really a sense of divide. It was more of a sense of national pride.
Yeah, and I would have to agree with you. On my many trips now to Washington, D.C., I feel the same way. Let's pass the phone over to Hugh and let me get his response.
Good morning.
Good morning, Hugh. So stand by here. Go ahead.
I felt the same way. There was a lot of national history that went along, especially in Washington, D.C. There was a lot of also national pride, a lot of American pride everywhere. Almost every corner you would see, there would either be someone dressing nice for Capitol Hill, there'll be another person there being a news reporter for the Supreme Court. And everyone just has their eyes focused on the whole United States of America. And mainly, it wasn't the people that really brought out the nationalism of the United States. It was actually the whole Senate there, the whole environment, basically. All buildings were old, and they were old monuments as well. And you can just see how much of America has been rebuilt from the very beginning to now.
Were you surprised, based on your observation of Congress from the news that you watch on television or read in the newspapers, to what you actually saw there?
Yes, I was actually very surprised. What pictured on the news was that Washington, D.C. was a big landmass of chaos, a big landmass of people who wouldn't work together, where there's no unity at all. But as I was there, standing right there in front of Capitol Hill, and also the Supreme Court House, I could see the sense of not only unity, but actual national security as well, where everyone just wanted to work together to get everyone to do their job and to get them out safely.
Nadia, let me turn to you here. Security is a big deal, obviously, on Capitol Hill.
Right.
Were you surprised about the amount of barriers to prevent vehicles from entering in that weren't supposed to, that sort of thing, the Capitol Police everywhere?
We didn't really get an opportunity to see most of that. We went on foot, but there was a pretty rigorous security presence. Every single building that we went into, we had to turn in our bags and have them screened and take off our jackets and whatnot. So I think there was a much heightened sense of security in more recent years.
Let me ask you this. When you went to visit the offices of our two senators, Dean Heller and Catherine Cortez Masto, were you surprised at the number of people working in those offices? Because so many times, you know, we read the newspapers or we watch news on television and we see the individual senators. But were you surprised at the size of the staffs that they have?
Yeah, it was a larger staff than I had anticipated. And a lot of them, that's not their only job. They have other jobs on the side. One of our former alumni from CSN actually works for Senator Masto, and he also is a waiter at a bar on the side. So it was incredible just to know that, you know, there's such a perception of like prestige amongst the people who work on the Hill, and there's an interpretation that they're stuck up, and they're really not. They have other jobs, and they're just ordinary people trying to do the best.
Hugh, when you visited the offices of the senators, what was your feedback from them? And did they come out and speak to you as a group of students?
So I actually, before we went as a group with Nadia and a couple other CSN students to speak with our Nevada representatives and also a representative from Texas, I went by myself and I sort of explored and looked at all the other senators. One of the senators' offices I looked at was one in Maryland. All the senators and representatives, they're all doors all open. Open doors for anyone to come in and to walk through and talk to them. I understand that they all do have another job as well, because my interpretation was when I came in, it seemed like they were short-staffed. There wasn't anyone else at the hallways. There wasn't barely anyone at the office. Majority of the representatives and senators, when there wasn't a committee board meeting or an executive meeting with the president, they weren't there at all. And asking around for them, they seem like to be missing half the time.
So there appears to be not an employment shortage for lobbyists, but an employment shortage for staff.
Yes, there is. That's what I suggested. And I actually asked for anyone at the offices for an internship there, and they said they're always open. So I guess there is a lot of terms for jobs for internships.
Do you plan to do one?
Yes, I do plan to do one. I've spoken with one of the representatives under Ruben Kewin. His intern actually gave me her card, said I should email her by the summer. And by the summer, I can intern for another House of Reps.
No, that would be great. All right, let's take a break. More with Nadia Elizondo and Hugh Lee, both students from CSN visiting Washington when we come back.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're talking with two students from the College of Southern Nevada who just recently returned from a trip to Washington, D.C., and we're just trying to get their thoughts on observing our nation's capital. So I'm presuming, and I'll put this to Nadia, that you got to tour all of our congressional offices. So Jackie Rosen, Ruben Kiwan, Dina Titus, and Mark Amade. Who impressed you the most, without being partisan, but who impressed you the most with their conversation with these students?
Well, we only got the opportunity to speak with two of our representatives. So we got to speak with Senator Masto and Congressman Ruben Kiwan. And for me, I felt Masto was the most entertaining, because she is the first Latina senator. So it was interesting to hear her perspective on what it's like, particularly for women of color on the Hill, especially because this past 2016 election cycle, we've had a record number of women and women of color making history and taking office.
And Hugh, your thought on who impressed you the most?
One of the representatives that did impress me the most was Congressman Ruben Kiwan. It was a huge, great pleasure just to meet him in person and to hear his story as well. He was very personal, direct, and one-on-one with us when we were speaking as a group as well. He even asked for who we were rather than us asking for who he really was.
So then you guys also visited the Supreme Court. We all know of the Supreme Court, but very few of us have ever been to the Supreme Court. How did that strike you, Hugh?
For me, it struck me as very, very, very pleasing. I'm happy that we have our Supreme Court justices there. I'm happy we had such great people appointed because one of the cases we heard were Georgia and Florida about their water problems and how the share of water and the distribution of it is very uneven. And having them there to separate the powers between their states and watching their borderlines from going into international lands, I'm so happy we have those.
What struck you, Nadia?
For me, I was really looking forward to the Supreme Court day the most, as I had recently been brushing up on a few of monumental cases, particularly for one case, the case of Texas versus Hernandez, which dealt with the civil rights for Mexican Americans or Hispanics. So I was really excited to witness the court and see it in its entirety. And just to know that Thurgood Marshall, Gus Garcia, all these historical people walked up these very steps was just astounding to me.
And what was the demeanor of the Supreme Court to you, Nadia? Was it what you expected from seeing regular courtrooms or courtrooms on TV versus a Supreme Court that has never allowed television cameras to be in the Supreme Court?
Yeah, it was incredible. I had expected it to be a lot more monotoned and stiff than it was. One of the Supreme Court justices was actually cracking jokes at the attorney the entire time, and everyone was just having a ball. It wasn't as laid back as people had, as you would, one would think. It was actually pretty lively, and you really got a chance to see a lot of the justices' personalities.
Hugh, and I'm going to ask both of you this question. For people that have not been to Washington, D.C., what would you say to them, especially students, in terms of why they should go and visit Washington, D.C.?
I say that if you were visiting Washington, D.C., you should go for the sense of gaining knowledge and returning back to it, to wherever you're from. Definitely when I went to Washington, D.C. with the whole entire group, I received so much knowledge on America itself that I grabbed a little bit of it and took it back with me to Vegas by putting all like the national like monuments and seeing the architecture to looking at our architectures, our museums compared to theirs, and seeing what we could do as well to like improve our city. There's a lot of protesting that I've heard about from on that Capitol Hill. But going over there, you should not just go there to like protest. You should definitely go there to absorb and get all the sense of nationalism from our own capital, and then return it back with the knowledge as well and share it to people.
Nadia, what would you say to people who have not yet been to Washington, D.C.?
I think that it's easy to become lost in the mix and to assume that, you know, something as prestigious as the Hill wouldn't apply to them. But I think people have to understand that our representatives are there for us, and there really is a place for everyone. You know, every state, every culture, all the history is represented, and I think that everyone should take the opportunity to go to experience it firsthand.
All right, so I'm going to ask you just for a quick answer from each of you. Start with you, Hugh. When you watch Congress on television now, do you have a different view of it than you did before you went back to D.C.?
When I watch, I watch it on CNN all the time. They're always reporting it. And I feel like they're really over-exaggerating it. And they're really just going short from like what they want to hear to what it really is. And just looking at it, it's different.
Okay, and you get the last word on that, Nadia.
I agree with Hugh. It really is different. CNN and just the news media in general tends to portray it as a sort of cutthroat environment, when really you might turn on C-SPAN and hear a passionate monologue. And when you're actually there witnessing the hearing, it's a mostly empty room with a handful of people milling about. So I think it's kind of jarring to see how laid back it actually is.
Well, you know, it was interesting. Tip O'Neill, soon after they came up with the idea of televising Congress, and senators were congressmen were grandstanding. He made the rule that they had to have the cameras turn around and show the empty room so that people would know that they were just grandstanding. Well, I think it's great that you guys got to go back to D.C., and I recommend it to everyone. I've been there every year for the last several years doing Nevada Newsmakers Goes to Washington. And I think the biggest takeaway for me is that Washington is bigger than all the politicians that are in it. And they are only there for a period of time, but the Congress goes on. Thank you both for coming on the program. It's illuminating to hear from you, and we thank you. And we also want to say thank you very much to Station Casinos and Green Valley Ranch for helping to accommodate this conversation. Thank you both very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sam.
All right, and we'll be right back.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great power pundit panel. As always, Sam Kumar is here. He's the past chairman of the Washoe County Republicans. Marlene Lockhart is partnered with the Lockhart Group. And Dayla Gibson is with Planned Parenthood. Welcome to you all. And Marlene, I wanted to start out with you with the stunning announcement, even though it was expected by a lot of people, that Steve Wynn was going to step down as chairman and CEO of Wynn Resorts. Your response to that news?
Well, I saw that last night when it hit, and it is just a huge bombshell. for Nevada and for the other states in which he has gaming properties. But I think this will, it opens the door, I think, into what has been known but unwritten and not talked about publicly of sex within the casinos and what goes on there, and what employees, you know, are subjected to. But just in every aspect, I think this will test our Nevada Gaming Control Board when they do their investigation, what this means economically for Nevada, whether the Wynn properties have the same success without him at the top. You know, he was the brand, and it was his vision that developed these just incredible different venues in Southern Nevada. So, you know, I just think there are so many questions, and it opens the door down so many different avenues.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up, because when Steve Wynn lost his previous properties to Kirk Kerkorian, when the stock price dropped down, Bellagio, Mirage, Treasure Island, none of them suffered because MGM came in and spent the money that was necessary to not only maintain those properties, but to go even beyond. So I'm presuming that the team he has in place, because obviously, even though he was a visionary, the team he has in place, I think, will be able to do the job that's necessary. Sam, do you have any understanding of, you know, does Steve Wynn have to divest himself of his stock in the company? Do you know if that's a legal matter for, you know, the Gaming Control Board?
I think it remains to be seen. I think Gaming Control Board will have a major role to play in the sense of the direction it'll go in. But you brought up an excellent point, Sam, about what kind of a leadership structure does he have within his org, and what does that mean to his organization and gaming in Nevada in general. As far as gaming in Nevada in general, you had some good examples of MGM, Kirk Kerkorian, and all of that. Nature abhors a vacuum. Somebody is going to occupy that space. As for the Wynn organization itself, when you look at Apple, they have done reasonably well after Steve Jobs is gone. The question is, what kind of an organization and culture does he have there from a business standpoint? Will they be able to sustain the growth and the innovation that he has been able to bring to the table? That remains to be seen.
Well, with a company that has literally thousands of employees and lots of senior management, I don't think that there's going to be a problem. I think that the most important thing was to replace him. And now that that's done, the last I checked, Wynn stock had rebounded a little. But in Macau, the trading is still being held. Dayla, were you surprised that the culinary came out so strongly? We have the head of the culinary coming on the program tomorrow, and they've made a big deal in their negotiations with all the casinos. Now the contracts are coming up, that the safety of housekeepers and maids is a priority, that they want to have panic buttons put into all the rooms so that, you know, just interactions with the regular customers, the woman will be protected.
I wasn't surprised. I think it's something that's been coming for a while. I know that last year, I believe it was last year, time goes so quickly, in California, the SEIU was working on bills to help with their employees as well in certain, in similar situations. Unfortunately, we are seeing, fortunately, unfortunately, it's coming to light that all of these transgressions against employees are coming out. But it's also sad to see how much it's been covered up and tolerated. And so I was really glad to see that culinary has pushed so hard, because it's been needed.
Okay, we're going to pick up on this with you guys on our next program, so we'll be right back.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
On our next broadcast, a rare interview with Gioconda Arguello Klein, the Secretary Treasurer of the Culinary Union. We'll see you then.